you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful message that your Son came to save us from our sins. We thank you, Father, for the power that you possess that is greater than any power that any man living on earth has in themselves. And we thank you for that, that we have a God who is over us and is watching over us and is here with us, involved in our lives. I thank you for your word that breathes truth into our minds and our hearts, and our pores, everything in us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to remember what you say to us and to read it faithfully so that we would be able to praise you with all of our heart and our soul and our strength. We pray, Father, that you would help us to, through this great mercy that Jesus has shown to us, be whole, so that we can give all that we have to you. We thank you, Father, for this. I pray that the words of my mouth would be pleasant in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a reason for the sermon title today, and it came from a song that I think at least most of you probably know on the radio. Do you know what I'm talking about? What is it called? We Found Love in a Hopeless Place, and it's by Rihanna. And for you, all of you who are a little bit older, Rihanna is a big name in the hip-hop world. I guess they call it hip-hop, don't they? Anyway, she's from Barbados. Actually, she came over to the States, and she's been very popular. And she composed this, or I guess she's singing this song. I don't know if she wrote it or not. And it caught my attention. The radio is sometimes set to what my kids listen to when I get into the car. So I, you know, sometimes I listen to what they're listening to, not to check it out, but just really to listen to it. And this song came up, and it has a very catchy beat as well. And I think that's probably why it's popular. I don't know if it's because of the name or the text, because I looked at it, and one of the posts that came under that song on the radio said, "What did Rihanna mean by that? What does she mean by we found love in a hopeless world?" And somebody wrote back, "She didn't mean anything by it. She's about as deep as a wading pool." But to tell you the truth, I don't think she's about as deep as a wading pool. I think that she's deeper than that. And in fact, I think that God uses those kind of things for a reason to talk to us in our world. And in fact, I think that we need to be attentive to what we're listening to, and in bigger ways than you would think. And I really believe that God can speak to us through this title as well, because it's an interesting one, isn't it? That she's talking about we found love in a hopeless place. And immediately what I started to think about was Jesus. You know, I started thinking about how he gives us love in this hopeless place that we're in. And I also started thinking about the idea of Jesus before he came here, of looking down on this place that he had been on creating from the very beginning. You guys are studying the Gospel of John, and that's what it says in the beginning of the Gospel of John. Nothing was made that was made without him. And he looks down on this place, and I was thinking, what must he have thought about coming here? You know, what must he have thought about coming to this place that he had created and looking at it in this hopeless, hostile world that it had become? And it is even now. Hostile is a very good way to describe our world. And a brother in the Lord, who I know, he's an African-American, was telling me about this day he was driving through parts of Philadelphia. And he actually had a ministry in Camden, which is also a very dangerous city to live in. It's one of the most dangerous cities in the whole country. And that means you can be killed there if you come into the wrong situation. And what he said was that when he was driving through this one section of Philadelphia, he said it was what you would call the hood. And the hood means a place where there's great poverty and there's danger and there's drugs and all kinds of things, people with guns. And it doesn't have a very positive meaning behind it. And he said, when I drove through the hood, I was trying my best not to look to my right or to my left, but just to continue on so that I could get out of there as quickly as possible. And that really struck me, because what he was trying to say was we shouldn't be looking straight ahead and not to the right or to the left, so that we can get out of there as quickly as possible, because people live there. And there are people that need help. and there are people that need Jesus. And there we are. And I found myself one day going through Trenton. I got off the road on the way to school one time, and the same thing happened to me. And I had exactly the same thoughts. Get me out of here as quickly as possible. There were people living in broken down shacks for buildings, and it was just a really miserable place, and I felt unsafe. It's the kind of feeling that you have that you want to lock your doors in case you come to a red light and somebody should attack you or something like that. And that's the kind of a place that we live in around here. We have it very, very safe where we live, but there are real people who were created and given life by God who are not in those kind of situations, and they really do feel that life is hopeless, and that is why they go to extremes to make life better for themselves, even to the point where they're going to be risking their lives because they just don't see why they should do anything else. And this song, "We Found Love in a Hopeless Place," really speaks to me about that kind of an idea. People are looking for something, love, in the situations that they find themselves, and sometimes it could be in a relationship. Romeo and Juliet also was this whole story of these two people that fell in love, and they were in two different families who didn't get along, and they were forbidden to be together, but they had this love that they wanted so deeply to hold on to. And so there was all kinds of things that come out of these kind of conflicts, and people grab onto something that they really want to overcome the hopelessness with, and they latch onto it. And those things are sometimes actually very good things. But I think as Christians, what we ought to do when we hear these kind of songs and we are around people who are connecting somehow, this kid that wrote about Rihanna was actually trying to ask a very serious question. What does she mean by that? And she got a kind of a sarcastic answer, but other people wrote back and they described it very, very consciously and seriously. She was in a position in her life, or whoever wrote the song was saying that they found some good within something that was totally hopeless. And I think that that's what God has given to us here in this one verse that we can read. It says, "She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And that is the answer that we need to be prepared for these days when we hear these kind of songs or we know people like that around us. We can be sensitive to the voices that are speaking to us today in our society, and it really doesn't matter if it brings shame upon us, because we know in our hearts that it's true, that God is real, and he is a sacrificing God. He is a humble God. He is a God who cares and loves us deeply, and he has shown that through his son Jesus Christ. And it must have broken his heart to look down on his world that he had created and to see how hostile and how dangerous it had become. And I think that if we were to compare that with ourselves, we would say, "I'm going to go now and I'm going to live in the hood and I'm going to talk to the people there about Christ." And that's exactly what Jesus did. He came to the hood, and he came with this message of love to save people from it and to bring them out of this hopelessness. And people have all kinds of problems. You can have relationship problems. You can have, I know, each one of us, never mind just young people, but old and young people have many, many thoughts that go through their minds that cause them pain, right? You have all kinds of things going on in your life that are causing you some kind of a conflict or some kind of a feeling that perhaps things aren't going to the point where you would feel hope. It could be caused by things not turning out for you the way that you expected them to turn out. People feel that they're disappointed in things in life, that it isn't all that it turned out to be. You could be in a relationship that is disappointing and you feel disappointed by that. You could have a fight with your mother or father and feel like things are so unfair. You could have a fight with one of your children and feel that things are not going as well as you would like for them, and you feel like a failure in some way. But God is saying to us today that he's involved in those things. He's not a detached God who is uninvolved and doesn't care. He showed it to us through his son Jesus that he's very involved in our lives, and he cares about every single thing that we think about. I believe that he cares about Rihanna. And I know that she has also been through a lot in her life, even just from picking up in the news, knowing that she was abused by Chris Brown, that she was beaten by this guy. We can relate to that, can't we? That there are things perhaps not being beaten, but we can relate to people having problems and having things going on in their lives. And the answer that we have is Jesus. Jesus cares about you, and he loves you. And even though you've been through something that's hard in your life, there is hope because Jesus is our hope. And that's the truth of Christmas that Jesus presents to us now. And that's why we are happy to be celebrating Christmas and to have Christmas trees and to have presents and to have time together and to come together in a church, because we know the true meaning of Christmas. We know that Jesus is the reason for our Christmas celebrations, and that's what we offer to people. And I think that what we need to do is step forward and be bold about it and to be able to tell people that that is the reason we're here. May God give us the courage to do those kind of things. When Jesus came and he looked around him, or perhaps when he was looking down from heaven and saw all the things that were going on, I know that he was disappointed, but he also had a purpose. And he was not below that hopelessness. He was above it. And he came with the truth, and he came with a real solution. Not a person who talks about being helpful or wanting to help, but he said, I am going to go as the solution for this problem. And I think that that's the greatest example that we could ever have. Not to just talk about it, how are we going to help these people that are in need, but to get on the phone and speak with them, or to go to their home and to talk with them, even though they may seem that they might not want us in their lives. Not to be offended by that or to be threatened by that, but to see that as being something that we ourselves would probably do if someone came to help us. People are not that, well, they're not the way that we think of them sometimes. We need to be persevering with the truth, because the world is a hurt place and many lives are hurt. And a lot of times it takes perseverance to break through that. But more than anything else, it needs the love of God that he provides to us so that we can speak to those people about those things. Some of the things that I was thinking about after I was reading this verse was the fact that Satan is so alive in our world today, and he's responsible for all of the hopelessness. You know, it's our sin, of course, that we have been tempted by, and we fall into sin. We know that Adam and Eve were tempted, and they disappointed God because they sinned. But Satan gives everybody the impression that everything is hopelessness. He wants you to believe that your life is nothing, and that everything that God has intended for good is just a lie. But in fact, he is the one who lies, and he's the one who gets us off the path of following God, and he enjoys that. And you know, when Jesus came into the world, we know that there was great rejoicing. There were certain people that were rejoicing, but there were other people that were very threatened by that. They're very comfortable in their lives being in control, and they want to do things their own way. And the idea of God is a threat to what they have going. And so they fight against it, and they try to destroy it. But the good news of the gospel tells us is that Jesus conquered death itself, and he conquered evil. We are victorious in the world, and the world wants us to think, well, if your God is so victorious, why are these continuing? But there will be a day when all of these things will come to an end. God is victorious through the cross of Jesus Christ. We do not need to be misled by other people who tell us otherwise. When you draw close to God, he will draw close to you. You need to seek things in his word, and then things become clear. One of the things that I thought of was that Satan was thinking when he was coming, I'm going to attack this person who's coming into this world. And Herod himself was saying, tell me where this baby is born so I can go and worship him. But in fact, what he was trying to do was find out where Jesus was so he could kill him. And so there is evil in the world, and all these things are going on. And Satan is saying, no, 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 I want my power. I want my power. But in the midst of all of these things, you hear these words, these incredible words, just like we were reading in the responsive reading today. the words of Zacharias. The beginning of this passage, he says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring, the morning star from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Aren't those beautiful words? Those are inspired words from the Holy Spirit that give us hope in the midst of enemies, in the midst of all this evil and those kind of things. But this was talking about John the Baptist, a person who went before Jesus and proclaimed the gospel. And I believe that we need to be like John the Baptist. We need to be self-sacrificing people at this time of Christmas. We need to be thinking about spreading the gospel and telling people that they're in sin. And if you think that that's going to be easy, well, you're wrong. I mean, what did I just say? If you think that's going to be easy, well, you're right. No, I'm getting confused. I said it right the first time. It's going to be hard because people are going to reject Christ, and they're going to reject any news that they are sinful. They're not going to want to hear that they're sinners. But a person who is ready to know God will admit to their sin in the view of a prophet or someone who tells them about it. And they'll be relieved that someone has told them what they need to do so that they can get their life in the right place with God. I also would like to just mention a couple of things that Mary also said. In the midst of all these hostile people around us and all the hostility and the evil in the world, we have these words that give us comfort by Mary, a humble woman who was visited by an angel. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Aren't those beautiful words as well? These are also inspired words. These are words from a person. Actually, both of these people were visited by God in the form, in this case, of an angel. And I was thinking this week how often we go through life and we're thinking about our problems, or we're thinking about the hostility in the world, or the things that are much greater than we can ever fathom. And then suddenly, can you imagine being a person like Mary, going about her business and doing these things that she normally does, and then suddenly an angel comes into her life? Do we have the faith that an angel can come into our lives today? Do we have faith that God can cut through all of the things that are so dark and shadowy and so oppressive and so threatening to us, and that God can speak to us in this way through an angel like that? Do we believe in angels? Do we believe that God can do anything that he chooses to do? That is the God I believe in. I know that there is nothing too great that I have done that he won't forgive, because he's done it. And time again, I witness that. When I fall into sin and I ask him again for forgiveness and I know that he loves me. And that's the only message that I can give to people, the one that I know for myself, that God loves me and gave his son for me. And in the midst of all the problems and in the midst of all the sickness and amidst of all these things, God works miracles. He takes the most dire of situations that we can face, and in those situations especially, he makes himself known to us. And he says, I am here for you, and I am going to save you because I love you. And in this world that is so threatened with war and all the things going on, and all the different ways that people choose to kill each other and to make each other feel miserable, the psalmist writes in Psalm 119:64, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. So when we think of our lives as being hopeless, when we think of the world as being too big for us to understand, when we think sometimes that there are things that come into our lives and our relationships, whether it be a fight with someone or it could be just some other thing that you're going through in your life today, then let us remember Jesus Christ, that he loves us and he came to save us from our sins, and that in the midst of all these things in the earth around us, that the world, the God's world, the earth that he has created, is full of his mercy. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this fact, that you are a God of victory, that you are a God that is greater than anything that man could try to do to destroy it. We thank you, Father, for our problems. We thank you, Father, for the fact that we go through times of trouble. We thank you, Father, that we live in a place, Lord, where we sometimes experience things that are going to make us seek answers and wonder what the hopelessness is all about. But we thank you, God, that there is love in this hopeless place that we live in. And as long as there is love, as long as you are there with us, Father, that we can be assured of truth and of mercy and grace and all of the things that you have given to us. May we be a light today, Lord, in this world of darkness, with your light, the light that comes from your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.